Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Comedy better than anything you'll hear in an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear in an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances at 9 p.m. 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at You, Me, Them, Everybody.
Hello everybody, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody, the midweek interview, even though it's Friday. We're doing the music addiction. Addiction. Yes, we are doing the music addiction. It is starting out smoothly. We're here as part of the music festival. What is a music festival? It's when a bunch of people show up to a place and they feel real awkward. And then sooner or later a band is going to play. I used to work for a music festival. I used to work for the Pitchfork Music Festival. Someone booed and someone cheered. It's a very divisive music festival. Because I got to work for the Pitchfork Music Festival, I also got to work for the Pitchfork Anniversary Show, which means I got to meet M.I.A. Ooh!
Hot damn.
I just found out that was yesterday.
No, Sean. You get your turn in 5 minutes. No, MIA is a 5'3" woman that's not a revolutionary because she has a sneaker from Adidas. I don't like the crowd very much right now because they all insulted my Adidas shoes and I'm wearing a suit. And they don't think that's appropriate. Well, I don't think this festival's appropriate, so fuck it. That's how I'm dressed. Now, I get to meet MIA. I'm not a fan of MIA. Here's why. Dramatic pause. Wasn't that a dramatic pause? It was great. Oh, this is going well. Okay. Oh, Jesus. This is going to be what they play when someone checks me into any sort of rehab. Like, in a year, in 10 years, this is the document of this. Ooh, sound issues.
That sounds better now.
It does sound better now. It's going to be great. MIA doesn't smoke cigarettes. Or she would like you to believe that. When I have cigarettes and MIA is near me, she is a chain smoker. That's not cool, ladies and gentlemen. If you're making any sort of money on music, you should always have a carton of cigarettes on you. And I'm telling the story for one simple reason. The Foo Fighters have my absolute favorite rider in the history of rock and roll. One of the things they have on their rider are 2 cartons of Marlboro Reds. Or $80. And then there's an explanation. If you're not going to buy us these cigarettes, we'll go buy them with your money. We're going to smoke. We're too old to change. Just deal with it. And that's how I feel about MIA. That doesn't make any sense. The point is, and this is for another crowd member in the audience, giant audience up here. It's hard to see. Diplo, when he warms up for his set, decided to play all of Disc 2 of Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, which leads me to believe there is no such thing as a revolution in terms of pop music. And that reason alone makes this midweek interview, the music edition, quite possibly the most important show of this fine year. Where did that come from? Now I'm Southern! No, this is going to be a fucked up show. All right. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
You feel real awkward, don't you? I'm going to moonwalk to the seat. Ooh, this is awkward, isn't it? Literally moonwalking. And we're going to start talking about music. We are going to do a panel show, and then Eric's going to come and perform some stand-up comedy.
Woo!
I agree with the sigh. And then, that was just mean. And then the Beanstalk Library is going to play. And the kind folks at this place are kind. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you, kind folks at this place. So, rather than me introduce everyone on the panel, I want everyone on the panel to introduce themselves, because there are two people on this panel who I can introduce in mean ways, and I don't want to do that. I'm turning over a new leaf, so I want to do nice things. So I brought the meanest man I could think of to sit next to me. So we're going to start on the far right. Who is the listener listening to, sir?
My name is Neil Beckton. I own Some Records at the corner of 14th and T. And I'm also one of the organizers of the D.C. Record Fair, which is taking place tomorrow at 2217 14th Street Northwest.
You're a good man. Are you still happy that you said yes to this?
Give me another beer and I'll...
Fantastic. Okay, your turn, sir.
I'm Nathan Jurgensen. I study at University of Maryland. Web 2.0.
Who are you, sir?
I'm Kim from Screen Vinyl Image. I have a lot of jazz masters. I look like a goth reject from Hot Topic.
Who are you, sir?
I'm Sean.
There you go. Rule of three, you know comedy. That's the rule of threes.
Yeah, I studied my comedy. I learned from you, which means that I'm not funny at all. Did you like what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
What's up, asshole?
Moving on.
Hi, I'm Peter. I write for BritishYoungThings.com, and also I have a comedy show called Live from the Lab. How are you?
I'm okay.
I like how you responded to how he, like, when he asked you a question. I asked you what
you said, what's up, asshole?
Well, what's up, asshole?
I don't like you. First question to the panel. Why is this funny? Is it? I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is.
Crooked Beat Record Store, it's an Adams Morgan. They're done selling CDs. They decided, screw it, if we're going to go out, we're going to go out with vinyl. You're a record store owner. Would you ever consider stop selling CDs?
I stopped selling CDs about 6 years ago.
So yes, the answer is yes, you would. Has that hurt you at all?
I'm not sure. I don't know, because I don't sell them. So.
Did you ever sell them?
Yeah, I mean, I've got like maybe 20 up on the counter. I'll sell.
So you already lied.
Wait a minute, what do you have? Because I actually, I'm kind of in the market for Alicia Keys. Do you have any? Do you have like Diary of Alicia Keys?
No, not on CD. No,
damn it! Do you have it on vinyl?
Wait, yeah. I'm not sure.
How does that sell? How are your Alicia Keys sales?
Fair to middling.
Fair to middling. What is? How do you feel about Alicia Keys as a person?
Seems nice.
You could just say fair to middling. It would have been funnier.
She seems like, I feel like that's all the CDs that you're going to find nowadays.
Though. Alicia Keys?
Yeah, seriously. Like if you go like the used CDs that they're getting rid of right now at Crooked Beat, aren't they all like fucking Alicia Keys and like
Chumbawamba,
White Town. I think they got some White Town in there, hopefully. You know, they got the good stuff, so I'm just going to sweep in, replenish my collection, back everything up. You know what I mean?
I used to own, actually, probably like 1,000 CDs, and I sold them all. What was interesting about the CDs was that I realized as I got less and less into CDs, I just, like, didn't care about them anymore, mm-hmm. So there was, like, broken CDs when I moved into my new apartment, just split in half, just because I really didn't care about them anymore. And it's funny because with the vinyl that I used to own, you know, I would freak the fuck out if, like, you know, a record got scratched. But with CDs, it was like, whatever, I could just download this on the internet.
You have a record label.
I do.
And do you even release anything on CD?
We did once, and it sold so well that I still have, like, or I should say the guy that co-runs the label with me still has like 400 under his bed. Because CDs are, they sell so great.
They do sell so great.
So,
what was the last CD you bought? Physical CD, no joke.
See, actually,
I got a Moby CD in the mail, which is a cruel fucking joke.
You got a Moby CD?
That's a cruel
joke. Oh, because you're bald. Because
I look exactly like Moby for the podcast.
You do actually look like Moby.
You look like
a fat Moby.
You look like a combination of if Ian McKay ate Moby. Like, you know, it works really well. But going back to the CDs, I have a funny story that isn't related to me. But, there's this kind of wise tale, I guess, about Thurston Moore. He would get
Thurston Moore tapes.
He would get He would get.
We all read Spin in 2002, sir.
Good. Yeah. You can hear the story because it's fucking awesome. So Thurston Moore, we get tons of CDs. He said he never has ever listened to a CD in his life. And so we had boxes and boxes of CDs. Boxes. Will you let me tell my fucking story, you asshole?
I realize I didn't say anything.
Jesus Christ. You're like a fucking ska Weezer looking dude. I like the...
what happened?
So anyways, Moby, he has boxes and boxes of CDs. So he ended up, finding a random record store on the internet. And he basically gave away 20 boxes of CDs just to this random CD store. And in the when he mailed them off, he said, "I'm Thurston Moore and I don't listen to CDs, so here's 20 boxes of CDs." And they ranged everywhere from like some really rare jazz CDs that are completely out of print to like just demos that like 16-year-old grunge kids would give them at shows.
Is it just me, or does that story make Thurston Moore seem like a dick?
Kind of, but I mean, like, if I ran a record store and I got Thurston Moore's CD collection, I'd be pretty fucking stoked.
Why do you have to say that it was Thurston Moore?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you're welcome, subjects. I bequeath unto you. What would you do if you got those?
If I got Thurston Moore CDs? I'm not going to front. I think Sonic Youth was an important band to me growing up, so I would probably be stoked. But then it would probably just be, half of it would be dudes farting on a mic and with delay pedals, so I probably wouldn't be into it.
You actually said, "And I'm not going to front," and no one made fun of you.
You know, I'm from the 90s, man. We grew up at the same...
We did grow up at the same time.
I was actually listening to TLC the other day.
Which era? No Scrubs or Waterfalls?
No Scrubs, man.
I like Waterfalls.
Do you think Left Eye...
AIDS, I'm sorry. AIDS.
Question. No, see, this is a serious question. Do you think Left Eye was sitting on the passenger side of her best friend's ride right when she died?
Wait a second. She died in a plane crash.
No, that was
Aaliyah. Oh, that's right.
That's right. Which they are interchangeable.
Did they die like within a month?
They are interchangeable because they're black. So
that's
true. So, you know.
That's true. We're racists, everybody. You're on this panel. You're a part of this now.
Congratulations.
Do you guys remember when it would cost $25 to buy like a Nirvana or Foo Fighters single, the import that had one fucking cover of Watershed?
I got the Austin Round single at Best Buy, actually. It was like $25.
Speaking of Best Buy, you are my favorite. You brought it up. You're my favorite Best Buy employee.
That's right.
That's true. True story, everybody. True fact.
Wait, have you met Jose?
Who's Jose?
He works at Best Buy.
I have not met Jose.
So check him out.
Shouldn't he be the janitor at Best Buy if his name's Jose? Ooh, what?
You just oohed at it, like everyone was like, ooh, and then you were going to say something.
Well, we're in D.C., I thought, you know, people
would... How did Left Eye die?
What?
Did she die in
a car?
Jeep crash, right? Jeep crash.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm.
Moving on. That one question took a long time, didn't it? Mm-hmm. The iCloud, which is going to be $25 a year, is about to be released. It's going to go compete against Amazon. I think Google also has a cloud-based system. Would any of you guys consider using that?
I'd use it. Fuck yeah. I don't want, the less shit that I actually have to own, no offense to the record store owner, but the less stuff that I actually have to own, the better, am I right? I mean, I just want to, like...
Did you just say it right?
I want to exist in the ether and just, like, be able to be like, "Hey, can I listen to, the Dead Meltman now?" Yes, you can.
Isn't that just the internet?
Yeah, but this is like, I don't know.
Don't you have to access the internet to use these systems?
I don't really know what this is. So
okay, the iCloud, it's essentially just an external hard drive in the sky.
Oh, so you can access your songs?
Yes.
On the internet. Oh.
So why get it? I don't understand the point of any of this.
Remember in your...
Yeah, I know, but you could just use like Grooveshark.
Also, after a couple of years, I mean, I don't know if you've had this experience being poor like you guys are, but after a couple, just kidding, I'm not rich. After a couple of years, like you get a new computer, right? You've got that whole fucking annoying transfer thing.
Yeah, that's why I said external hard drive.
Well, yeah, and then that's like $200.
No, you're wrong. Let's shop on Amazon right now. What size do you want?
Isn't the like negative thing about this like that? I guess because it's going to be on the internet, your music collection, that could be a like private thing. Does
anyone on the panel consider their music collections private?
Well, no. I think if you're like downloading, quote unquote, illegally. I mean, is it MP3s that you have to buy legally? I don't really understand how it works.
Well, I know you can upload it yourself. That's how the Amazon system works. But
right.
The iTunes systems, or the Apple system, sorry, you can just access it. You can access the stuff you bought without having to transfer.
But it's
so
not,
you still have to transfer if you do this, and you have to pay to use the.
But it's not stuff that you can rip yourself and upload.
It's stuff you can rip yourself. It's both.
But it's traceable, so the marketing.
It is traceable.
Know how you're listening to it.
Are you paranoid about that?
I don't think they know pretty much a lot of stuff already.
I mean,
they're going to know even more.
Is anyone on the panel not on Facebook?
I just learned how to use Twitter yesterday.
I'm on Friendster.
Yeah, I learned how to use it yesterday.
I am still on Friendster also, if you guys figured it out. Hit me up on tribe.net.
Do you remember, I remember the day that everybody switched over to MySpace. Like, legitimately, like, it was like, Friendster's dead.
Never
everybody
forget.
I can't get a 9/11 chance to in this town for the life of me.
I refuse to do that anymore.
Why? Come on, it's a fun chant. Never forget. How do you not forget chants? What? We all like music. We're artsy. Speaking of artsy 9/11, LimeWire is ordered to pay $105 million to the music industry in a piracy settlement. Was it worth it?
Here's what I want to know. What is the record companies going to do with that money? Because I'm really hoping they're just going to go to Cleveland and be like, everybody signed. Everyone, come on, boy, just get a big truck and just put on a...
Did anybody actually use LimeWire? Because I was an Audio Galaxy guy. That was my...
I think that was after LimeWire. LimeWire replaced... As soon as Napster went under, it was like Kazam... and LimeWire, and that was it.
Because I feel like LimeWire was more like for movies and porn or something like
there's
that.
There's also BitShare. Yeah. Well, LimeWire had everything.
Right.
I miss LimeWire. What do you think about any of this? You actually sell music.
Yeah.
Yes.
So have you ever downloaded anything illegally?
Not really, no.
Really?
No. I'm old school.
Yeah, you are.
Good for you. Dude, actually, I've never have either. Just to be clear, but I'm just because I'm afraid.
I mean, I'm really afraid of doing it.
I'm like old school. I feel like Nancy Reagan's going to bust down my door.
She's dead, right?
Is she?
Is Nancy Reagan alive?
She's alive, right?
She's still alive. So she might bust down your door. Not a ghost Reagan.
I mean, I will say that I think... Audio Galaxy and Napster, and I'm being serious here, they actually played a pretty good role in some of the music that I listen to today.
Oh, yeah.
I it's funny, running a record label, we've actually leaked some of our own records. And it's actually worked well for us where we've sold more copies of records. To kind of get to the LimeWire question, what do I think of $105 million? What are record labels going to do with that? I mean, really,
right.
It's funny because...
Did you just say big lines of coke?
No,
shut up! What constitutes a big line of coke? These floors are tiled. They're about 8 by 8 inches. Would you have to fill that entire tile with coke and then multiply it to consist of a big line?
I'm not sure. I've never worked for a record label.
That's a perfect answer. But you were saying...
I don't know what... it's funny, when you run a record label, granted, we don't have the budget. We don't have a budget at all. But you kind of go through the numbers to promote a record. And to sell a couple thousand copies of a record, granted, nowadays the way it works is it's mostly if somebody says something about it on a blog or a website. But it really doesn't cost that much to... put out 1,000 copies of a record and make money back on it. So you kind of wonder, at the end of the day, what is $105 million, where is that going to go? And I don't know if the record industry is, I mean, yeah, they probably still do coke, but then you kind of wonder, what do they really spend that money on? You kind of think about when you go to a website and you see some shitty advertisement on Pitchfork or something like that.
You know there's other kinds of things in the world other than websites, you know what I mean?
Well, no. I think the way...
They have to get on the radio, and they have to...
The radio doesn't matter anymore. The radio...
Oh, yeah, it does.
It does not. I worked with it, the radio does not. It doesn't.
For what you're doing, the radio doesn't matter.
Right.
Alicia Keys, it fucking matters.
I think in 5 to 10 years, that's not even going to be relevant anymore. I think YouTube matters more than the radio does. I think YouTube has much more viability than the radio does.
Right now, though, it doesn't.
I would argue against that. I would say somebody like Krayshawn has made her career, and rumor is that she has just signed $1 million deal to Sony.
That's $1 million. That's one tenth of what.
But think about it. She could. You could argue that she is the future way that music is consumed.
Sure, the future.
So I think that, you know, obviously I think that the way things are progressing is radio's not going to... You're not going to hear a Krayshawn song on radio. You're not.
Now, wait a minute. Can we make a point?
I'll make a bet with you. I think
I'll make $10, even money, that within 2 years we hear Krayshawn song on the radio.
Okay, I will bet. I'll actually triple that because that's how.
That's like a whole shift at Best Buy.
No, but I think the way people consume music, be it radio or whatever, I think that's, you know, that's a dying kind of dinosaur way of thinking.
I agree, but it doesn't mean it still doesn't fucking happen.
Yeah, but you know,
they take that $100 million and they give it to like a music producer who like finds some band who they pay to get on the radio, they pay to get on MTV, and that all costs.
But again, you know, I'm kind of looking.
They take that $100 million and they turn it into $90 million.
But again, I don't know the really exact logistics of Odd Future, but let's, if you kind of digest the way that they've operated, you could argue that they've had handlers, but I bet you it hasn't cost them that much money. And I'm sure at this point, Odd Future, if they really wanted a record contract, they could make a lot of money. And that was based off of their fucking Tumblr. Like, they put out music for free. And they're probably legitimately the biggest thing right now in music. Legitimate.
The biggest thing that people are talking about, not the biggest thing that they're actually...
But that's what matters. But that's what matters. That's what matters.
To your, like, your heart and your soul, but not to the $100 million that's moving.
But again,
bank account.
You can only name about 7 people legitimately.
I'm saying legitimately.
That I think are actually making money in music. And I think what really matters
now...
There's
7. Let's name them.
Well, we were just maybe...
Usher.
Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Lady Gaga.
Gaga.
The Biebs. What? I'm trying to think
of...
What?
Free Earl.
Yeah, we're talking about... I get it. You know the internet. That's great. I'm trying to think. I think Creed actually still sells really legitimately. I think Creed sells well.
Kanye.
Yeah. But I think
who else do we know?
I don't.
Nickelback.
Nickelback
was named the band of the decade, but
all of country music.
Glee, yeah, all.
Oh, exactly. Glee's at the Verizon Center next week. How does anyone come into your record store looking for like an old Journey record based on Glee?
That's what they admit to me personally.
Okay. How does your back catalog sell for songs that have been featured in movies or TV? Or does it?
It's hard. I mean, the classics always sell, so it's hard to say if it's Glee related or...
Do you buy records at your store? From, like, do you buy used records?
Of course, yeah.
So, like, any Beatles record you'll buy? That has any Stones record you'll buy.
Beatles, Stones, Pink Floyd, Bob Dylan.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
How is the policy on import records work? Do those sell at all? Stuff that had like one song and the German version or anything like that? Does anyone care about that stuff anymore? Or now that you can easily access it, it doesn't matter?
Some people will still want to have the original artifact.
I mean, that's where we cut, like, that's where it's funny. We've had people email us at Vandeth kind of asking for, you know, We did a second pressing of a record, and we had like 5 or 10 people ask us for an original pressing of a record, and we've repressed it already. And it's kind of funny that to us it's just, yo, the repress is the same thing except the colors are reverted on the cover. But people legitimately wanted the original pressing. Granted, it's a small segment of people that wanted it, but it's still there.
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, like, you and I are both Foo Fighters fans. I love it. No,
we sadly are.
We really are, and it's funny. I was looking online for the you know, the new record is a double 10-inch.
Yeah.
And the reason why I want that double 10-inch is because I know when they reissue it, it's probably going to be a 12-inch or,
yeah.
you know, so, but that means something to me.
Do you, so you still buy records based on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And because, you know, it's funny, like, right now I'm really into kind of collecting old hardcore 7-inches. And I was trying to look at the...
All or old?
Old.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at the original pressings of, like, a Negative Approach record or a Necrose record or something. And it matters to me that the insert is the blue paper. And it, but that's just a... That's a record collection. Excuse me.
Do you ever plan on selling these things?
What's that?
Do you ever plan on selling them?
I sold my record collection for the record. Like, I had a... huge record collection, and what's interesting about that is I didn't think I could ever part with it, but when you sell a record collection, it kind of forces you to start collecting stuff that you didn't collect before. So before I sold my record collection, I was really into like old avant-garde jazz records. So I was on this big kick, and now I'm really into collecting old hardcore records. But I think the point is there's a segment of people that still want, you know, the original pressings of records, and they'll pay a good amount of money for it. So I've seen records that we put out that are out of print that people paid $60 or $70 for, and I'm looking at the back of my bookshelf, and I'm like, oh, well, I could have just gave you the last one that I had. You know, it's weird, but there's a segment of people that still want that.
Would you ever consider holding back records that you have that your label releases just to cash in, like, 6 months later?
Yes and no. Depends on the band. There's one band that... there's a band, Ring of Death Star, that fucking sucks.
They're not on your label.
They were.
Okay.
Why did they
say I'm not? They acted really rock star-ish, and they wanted us to.
Did they know who you are?
Did they know who I was?
Yeah.
I dropped them from the record label. Like, on the, they knew who we were. But it's, well, we started working with them. We thought they were on the level. I guess we. And, well, anyways, they had this crazy request where they wanted us to mail them 200 records overnight to California. And,
are they going on tour?
No, they were just playing these random California shows with some fucking shoegaze band that nobody cares about. And we checked the cost of mailing these records. It was like $400.
Yeah.
And so we're like, no, we'll mail you like 30, and if you want to pay for this yourself, you can. So the singer, who is a complete douchebag, was kind of acting very, I don't know, very, he was pissed off that we weren't accommodating their every need, and he started yelling at me, so I just said, fuck you, and dropped them. So anyways, my point is we have like 30 copies left of their 12-inch. And I don't know if we're going to sell them, but I've seen them go on eBay for like $50.
Okay.
So,
and this band is what?
This band is Ringo Death Star.
Ringo Death Star.
They're actually really big here in D.C. because I think there's some douchebag bands that are really into them or something.
Is douchebag your favorite word?
right now it is. It switches every couple of months.
Okay.
But it's a good word to go to.
How was Record Store Day for your record store at Som? Is it Som or Som?
Som.
Som. Som?
Som. It's a Portuguese word for sound.
That makes sense. How was the Portuguese word for sounds record store day? I was there for
a little
bit.
It was the busiest day we've ever had.
Yeah,
by far.
Someone, I think over at Crooked Beat, they said like it's 60% of their monthly sales, like in one day or something crazy like that. Yeah?
That sounds about right.
Did you hold back anything for yourself?
I meant to, and I sold it, and I had to rebuy it.
Okay. Like,
can I ask you a question about record store day? I think it's interesting. I have friends that have record stores, and one of the things they were saying was that, you know, usually Record Store Day was made for independent record stores, but they've noticed that a lot of the distributors have held records for the bigger record stores that aren't even independent, like FYE and things like that. Is that true? Or
yeah, the distribution side of things getting really messed up. And
for Record Store Day,
yeah, it's a real crapshoot. Like you order, I got maybe a quarter of the stuff I ordered. Record.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They were telling me that you just submit a list and you get what you get, and that's just how it is.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That sounds insane. Yeah, is there any way to make this better?
And you don't know until a few days before Record Store Day, and people are calling in and saying, "You're getting it to television."
Did you have anybody camping out?
We had about 20 people there before we opened.
I was there.
Dude, I was there.
Did you buy anything?
I wasn't really there. I just wanted to participate in the company.
No, everything I went for was sold out by the time I got there.
You know, I have this weird kind of... I don't want to say I'm against Record Store Day, but I think it would be way more interesting if, you know, record labels were to kind of, you know, find, you know, boxes of original pressings of records and actually have those as the selling points for Record Store Day. I get Record Store Day, and I support the idea of what it is and why it supports independent record stores, but to me it's goofy to be like, yeah, man, so I waited 5 hours in line to get the repress of Bad Brains Pay to Come 7-inch. Like, I just think that's... There's something weird about that.
The whole, you know, manufactured rarity, I kind of feel weird about.
Speaking of manufactured rarity, I still remember at Reckless Records in Chicago, they were selling a fake copy of the first Nirvana 7-inch for $250, mm-hmm. and they advertised it and said, this is a fake, but this is the best you'll ever see, and it sold. So
I believe it.
I mean, the record industry will fuck it up somehow. I mean, they always do. So,
well, this is an interesting story. The record industry is shooting themselves instantly. Amazon likely lost $3 million on the Lady Gaga album deal. The day before or something like that for the new Lady Gaga album. They sold it for $1 on Amazon, and they lost money. Amazon bought it at cost, which is between $8 and $9. And they sold a lot of them.
Dude, you have no fucking idea how economics work, dude. If you sell something for 99 cents and it's worth 0 cents, you've made 100% profit.
But I also think this goes back to what we were talking about. This goes back to what we were talking about 20 minutes ago about how people consume. Even though, okay, Amazon lost $3 million of sales on Lady Gaga, the way she sells records. There was an article I read, I forgot where it was, where they were basically saying the way this album was rolled out in terms of selling it through Farmville. I think you could actually put money through Farmville on this record. I mean, yeah, there were different. So even though the whatever 1 million sales that she had, according to Billboard, theoretically, actually, you could probably double that or triple that because of the way the album was sold.
Although a lot of it was boosted by this fake thing, too. It was a $3 million. It was a $3 million promotional campaign for their cloud thing. That's what it was. They're like, we're gonna spend $3 million, and everyone's gonna figure out that we've got this new cloud thing that.
I'm sure Amazon will recover and.
Obviously,
it'll be okay.
I mean,
I was buying my collection. Should we take up a collection? If anyone.
I was buying my subscription to Super K Kellogg cereal as I bought my. Lady Gaga CD. So Amazon made some money.
Your reference was lost.
Yeah, nobody. I do like the Kellogg Super K cereal. But anyways, that's how Amazon made their money was you buy a 99-cent Lady Gaga CD and then you buy stuff, which is what I'm
buy
sure.
A chair.
Yeah.
Did I bought a chair.
Did it include? Was it a physical album or just the download?
The chair? It was real.
Charge people more money because more people are going to their site too.
Of course. It just seems like it seems brilliant, and whether you like her or not, she's the best.
Oh, I love Lady Gaga so much. The thing with Lady Gaga is it makes me feel just for a second like I'm a 15-year-old gay farm boy in like South Bend, Indiana. And it's the only thing keeping me from throwing myself into the threshing machine is the existence of Lady Gaga.
Yeah. I mean, musically, I have no opinion on her, but I think the way that she's marketed and the way that she markets herself for somebody that sells X amount of units is pretty ingenious.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
I don't know musically what she does in terms of
she's clearly doing Vogue.
Is she that different from Madonna though?
Who cares?
She actually read an interview with her recently because I read everything that she does and everything that she says and I scribe it up on my wall. No, I read an interview with her and she said that she understands the Madonna comparison and she's flattered by it. You know, she's like, of course I sound like Madonna. I fucking love Madonna. And I was like, yes, A, good for you. That's awesome. And B. Yeah, she sounds exactly like fucking Madonna.
And she's got a fucked up face, so good for her.
How can you tell? Because
how could you tell? Because noses, all noses look like that.
I feel like every time I see her, she looks different. Like there might be seven or eight of her.
That's brilliant. And that's she's fun. She's a great guest on Letterman.
Yeah.
Okay. That alone makes me like her.
Right.
Going back to local, Blue Brain, the band Blue Brain, has released an app for the National Mall. I think it's the first ever site-specific app. It's kind of ingenious. Have any of you guys heard it or listened to it or done it yet?
I don't know who I saw Blue Brain.
You don't need to know who Blue Brain is.
No, let me tell you. I saw them once, and the dude, they had two dudes blowing these huge fucking stupid horns, and it was the worst thing I've ever seen. So I don't know anything about blue balls, but they were terrible. So
they don't blow horns.
That's what it was. They were blowing two big horns.
I don't know if that is.
They were opening up for the Dismemberment Clan, and it was just the shittiest thing I've ever seen.
Okay,
so.
Well, I think it's awesome. I mean, they're friends of mine, so I'm...
Yay!
You can talk shit about it. It's all good. But
I'm sure they're great people.
I think they're... No, I mean, they're obviously the best band in D.C. right now. They're like head and shoulders above anyone else
really?
Doing anything at all.
You write for B.I.T., so I don't... You write for B.I.T., so I don't really...
Well, yeah, fair enough. I mean, I like all kinds of shit, but they... To me, that just like this is an example of why they're so far ahead of anyone else.
Regardless of whether you like... We're not talking about the merit of their
just,
music.
Like, imagine that you don't... Pretty cool app.
Thank you. Have you done it yet?
Have you gone around?
Yeah, no.
I bought it and I drove around the area listening to it. It's awesome. Just like the fact
Does it move with
you? Yes.
Really?
You're like in one spot and you're listening. I only drove it. I keep planning to like walk around for a while, but you're in one spot looking at one monument and you're hearing this music and you leave and as you're going away it starts to change and you go to a different place and it's playing different shit. I mean, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beyond anything anyone's ever done. I mean, there are other apps like that in the world, but none by people as good at making ambient music as Blue Brain, and none in D.C. That's forgotten.
Really making ambient music at, like, right now, Blue Brain? I don't know what to say to that.
No, really, he said really. That's not enough.
I listened, I put on a record today, it was pretty awesome.
What record?
We were listening to Xeno Uplander, right?
Yeah.
Say it clearly. No, seriously, what was it?
It was Xeno Uplander.
Xeno Warrior.
Xeno what?
Xeno and Oaklander.
Xeno and Oaklander.
Yeah.
Xeno and Oaklander. There's
really?
Six syllables in that. You said it in two the first two times.
It's really that
Speak
hard?
Clearly. Well,
I listened to a cassette tape yesterday.
Speaking of which... Thanks for my notes, buddy. Cassette tapes are making a comeback! I know this because I think you guys released one recently.
They released a lot of cassette tapes.
Exactly. How is that going? How are those selling?
Nice thing about cassette tapes is the return is pretty nice. So you can press one for... You can do 100 for 115, let's say.
So it's like CD press.
Yeah, pretty much. And then we sell them for $5 and we make $330 profit or whatever. The interesting thing about tapes is it's a weird mix of just the physicality of the tape, and it's also a mix of people actually liking to listen to music on a cassette. I have people that email us like, oh, I just like owning the tape. I like actually physically owning tape. And then there are people that are like, oh, I only listen to tapes. But the
Thurston Moore, and that's it.
Yeah, no, we haven't got an order from Thurston Moore, although I think it's funny, the guy from Matador, the guy that owns Matador, owns every release that we've ever done. That's my bragging right, by the way. I can do that, so.
He used
just
to
that? That's the only one you got?
That's the only one that's famous. I mean, you know. Was it you that bought, like, everything from us? There was somebody from BYT that, like...
It was someone else.
Like, $300 worth of just crap.
If I had $300, I wouldn't spend it on...
You know, you keep making fun of your own label.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's funny, like...
Why is that funny?
You do a record label because you enjoy putting out music, but the thing that I've said this in multiple interviews, is if you take yourself too seriously, that's when it becomes... less fun.
Everyone was worried that you were taking yourself too seriously.
And I just, like, you know, I know exactly who we cater to. And
do you like any of the people you cater to?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a record nerd. That's what I am. But I also
I also know the
cultural references and the negativity that comes with that. And I think if you can't make fun of yourself, the old saying goes, then you know, something... If you're taking yourself to that, like, fuck that up. No, but really,
that old saying.
My thing about cassettes is this: like, I was at Nashville. I was at a Nationals game the other day.
Oh, no, I was.
I was like, you know what? I really wanted some of those peanuts with shells on them. Because, like, I'm kind of nostalgic about that, even though they're, like, kind of hard to eat. And then I got them, and they were, like, kind of really hard to eat.
This is, I'm
so
gonna
then
stop.
I threw them away. And I didn't eat them.
He can see my cards. Next question. The Nationals, like most baseball teams now, have music outside of the stadium, and it's awful. What bands should be playing outside of National Stadium? Not any band ever, but local DC bands or near the area. I'm completely serious. Who should, this is a wasted opportunity. Just because you sell Miller Lite doesn't make the sound have to suffer. That you kind of got where I was saying it didn't make sense.
Because I have a forum to say this in, and I've always wanted to say this, I think Black Market Baby should reunite the old hardcore band from DC, and they should play in front of the National Stadium. That's I've always wanted to say that, so I don't know any new local DC talent.
Well, there should be actually a hardcore night.
Moby might know Blue Ridge should play, right?
A go-go night as well.
Do they have a go-go night right now?
No, they're probably scared. They just have a go-go night.
Yeah, God forbid they actually
they
sell
still
tickets.
Make go-go? Come on.
Yeah,
they're still good. Yeah, they would be a little bit. There's a lot less of like a youth market for go-go nowadays.
Well, there's a lot less market for everything
these days. That's true. I think, you know, who I like, I don't love their recorded outfit, but I think they're just like an awesome, like, kind of, is that coming out of the speaker?
Oh, it's been coming out of the speaker for like 20 minutes. Okay. We decided to do an old-timey radio panel. Oh, for the home listener, those aren't our microphones, by the way.
I would look the moderate to play for them.
Okay, the moderate.
They're really great. They're like a rock band. They're like
okay.
Rock. I think they're good.
Neil?
I'll say Chuck Brown.
Chuck Bray.
Chuck Brown.
Chuck Brown.
Brown.
I mean, I would say Black Market or Void. If Void was to, which will never happen, but Void reunited, it would be awesome.
Are there any musical festivals any of you are looking forward to this summer?
I'm going to see Kenny Chesney tomorrow, and that's not a joke. I'm going to see him. It's going to be amazing. I've got an outfit.
Do you like Kenny Chesney?
I do. I like modern country. I enjoy modern country very much. I feel like I just admitted that I
touched
children.
I like the look on his face. Like what the fuck?
What the fuck? I'm trying to think of the last big like festival that I went to.
Right.
Yeah, I went to Bonnaroo last year and it was
really
dirty. It was dirty. No, it was okay. There was a lot of weird. It was like weird.
That narrows it down.
But people were throwing, I mean, think about this. People were like just randomly go through Bonnaroo and throw giant masses of like glow sticks into your head. You're just like walking, you know, like on a field, and then a glow stick hits you in the head. Like that's what Bonnaroo is all about. It's crazy.
That sounds awful. Sean?
Do I look built for festivals? Do I look physically built that I would enjoy a festival?
Well,
let's
explain to the listener at home.
I live in a bubble, and I'm on kidney dialysis right now.
Your reality is actually funnier. It's true. You're hilarious.
No, I use a walker to walk.
Yeah. So would you get preferred seating or whatever everywhere for concerts?
I really don't care about that. Like, to me, it's funny. I do the DNA test fest thing every so often, and one of the things that I found doing that is that it's an endurance test, and I realized that fests don't work. So I don't know. If I had to choose a festival though, I don't know. I guess.
That's fair.
I guess. Bob Blizzard, Foo Fighters play.
Yeah, that's right. And Eminem. Eminem's playing. I like him because
actually, I am going to Summerfest too in a couple of weeks
in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee Summerfest is
crazy.
It's weird. It's like a 14-day. It's a mixture between like a taste of and a music festival. It's very odd.
All the brats and mine and Google, you can drink.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Final question before we get to comedy. Yeah. By the way, listener at home, what you're hearing are the speakers going. That's it.
That was the hum of the large crowd out there.
That's what it is. You're a good man. Final question. One thing you'd change about the music industry. One thing.
I wouldn't change anything. I think the way things are progressing.
Speaking to an optimist like you, of course you wouldn't want to change anything.
No, I wouldn't change anything. I think it's important the mistakes that we've learned, the idea, the way that music's consumed. You know, we would all love to have this romanticized idea that, oh, bands should be treated better and labels should run this way and the way things are operated should be this way. But I think the way people are learning how to consume music, the way we kind of view music, I think I wouldn't change anything. I don't think we'd get to this point without labels being shitty or bands being shitty. And I think the idea that, oh man, well, you know, this is, we should just make everything free or we should charge for everything, I think that's a really shitty way to think about it. I think you let things progress the way they're progressing, and the people that love music will dictate the way that we, again, consume music. So I think the idea of, well, let's just change everything, you let things operate the way they operate. If you would have asked me 10 years ago that I could download an Ornette Coleman record for free and give it to my friend who gives it to his friend, who then creates a band who then puts out cassette tapes and does weird avant-garde stuff, because of that Ornette Coleman record, because he downloaded a digital copy that's basically ones and zeros, would have blown my mind, because that's it, but that's the way it works. And I think the idea that we should pull that out of the equation or change that is just, so to me, the way record labels operate or the way music operates, I wouldn't change a thing. I think we're in a good position right now to see what happens next.
Ditto. I think that's a great answer. I mean, the record companies have been behind for years, and the whole free download thing really caught them by surprise, and it took them about 10 years to catch up, but I think they're finally getting there.
I also think it's the easy answer to say record labels are behind, but I think people are behind too. I think the idea that, you know, I think everybody should have a blog in a sense and be exposing people to different kinds of music. I think that's important. And granted, you have to sift through a lot of crap, but the crap that you can get through to the really good stuff, I think listeners now are like, oh man, I can blog about this and somebody will listen to this. I think that's important. So I think listeners are actually still kind of behind in a sense.
Just to suck up some more, I think, and that's a great answer, but I think the one thing I would change about the record industry is to have more like labels like yours that are doing something really specific, and also something that is anti-marketing in a certain way. It's like, you certainly do marketing, but in a certain way of saying, this is what we do, if you don't like it, fuck off. And I think, you know, we may disagree about specific kinds of music, but I think, like, in general, like, that's what's missing right now, is that kind of, like, this is what music should be, vision from certain elements of the record.
And I know, not to prolong this anymore, but really quick, I think what I think needs to actually happen, too, is that more people need to do that. And I think the idea of saying this sucks versus this is good is an important thing. And whether you like that idea or not, that's important.
I think we should kill auto-tune, actually. That'd
be kill auto-tune!
I love auto-tune. I can't agree with you whatsoever.
Did your T-Pain just announced he would never use auto-tune again?
Yeah.
Because he invented
it. Coke's going to run out. He's going to use it again. vinyl's too expensive. It's too expensive to press vinyl. It's too expensive to buy vinyl for the amount of vinyl I want to buy. That's the main problem. As soon as vinyl drops down to the, like, Best Buy CD pricing model, when everything's $12.98, that will be a
better
thing.
That's not true. You're buying it from the wrong places.
Then I might be. But it just seems to be that I used to go into record stores and, like, as a 12-year-old and be able to spend $20 and get 40 45s. And now those 45s, now because the interest is restored, are now costing about $5 to $10 a pop. There's no longer that surplus of old great new music, because people are rediscovering vinyl, which is fantastic. But there's not enough people releasing vinyl in an affordable format. Like Numero Group, I bought the last few Numero Group releases are, to me, very expensive. They're completely worth it. I'm broke. That's all I'm saying. That's the one thing I would change. You've all been a very, very wonderful panel. Is there any final words you'd like to impart on the folks?
You run a record store, right? I think that's really important to the way, again, we're talking about how the internet consumes music, but I think it's important that record stores still exist. My record label wouldn't exist without a record store, and I think we kind of lose we kind of take for granted record stores. And we're talking about Record Store Day for a second, but I think it's important that we give him a round of applause for
another
record store.
Yeah, let's do that.
And I think that's something that, to go to a record store and actually feel the record in your hand and talk to people about music, you know, that's important. And I think we're losing that.
And, I'm sorry, I have yet to run into the stereotypical record store owner in D.C. that has vinyl. You guys are all actually nice people that you want to talk to.
That comic book guy?
No, you don't have any. There's one place, but they don't really sell many. They don't even, they sell vinyl, and I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about because they're in DuPont. Yeah, not a fan, but you guys are great. Any final words?
Listen to more country.
Fantastic. Country, final words.
Come to the record show tomorrow.
Yeah, which is at the Greatest Young Things space.
Which is not Sean's favorite blog.
Yeah. I will say one thing and we'll end this.
You've said 30.
I think BYT has its place and I'm glad it exists. No, really.
Are we going to like shake hands with like a story?
Because somebody like me would not exist, and I think at the end of the day, it's good that there's an outlet for shitty stuff.
So what do you say? You created this monster.
I know, I did. I give him an inch, and he just puts the rest of it in
there. I love you, Moby. I love the rest of it.
All right, I want to thank the panel, and now I want the panel to shut the fuck up, because coming to the stage, we're using that term very loosely. Very funny stand-up. Please put your hands together ready for Hank Zeger, everybody! Yay! Go music! Deal with it! Oh, what a beautiful small audience I have here. I wanted to set the facts correct on this because you guys were talking about TLC and the deaths that were implied. And I'm with you, Brent. I totally heard Aaliyah. There was some sort of death inculpated or whatever. That's not the right word. But there's something related to TLC. No, none. Only one member is dead at this point. It's Left Eye. She died in a Jeep accident. T-Boz. Has sickle cell, but it's not dead.
Yay!
And that's also a rumor. So we're fine on that, and then Chili's fine.
Yay!
So Chili's holding shit down. So, update.
Which one was your arsonist?
I don't
know. Left eye.
Hey, I only had an hour and a half to research this shit while you guys were talking, so
Falcons.
I didn't do it all.
Dirty birds.
I've had a kind of a weird, I'm glad for a new month. I had a weird month last month. There's some pros, there's some cons. I'll give you the pros first. Pros, I have been spooning mad bitches, first of all, okay? I've been spooning a lot. Do we have any spooners here? Ladies? I say that, and guys will automatically be like, I spoon, and like, no, not me. But no, it's ladies, any spooners? I don't care. Slotted spoons? Any slotted spoons?
I'll figure
that shit out. Hey, this is my time.
Ignore him.
Yeah, I will. I will take a serving spoon if no slotted spoons are available. I draw the line at ladles. Don't do ladles. That's me. The cons on that, the microphone just totally changed, didn't it? Listener, did it? Get back to me in a month when this gets published. The cons on last month were the rapture was going to happen, and that kind of freaked out my cat. He was fasting in expectation of Christ's triumphant return, which is a lot nicer to say than I forgot to buy cat food. it's fucked up, though. I was encouraging people that Saturday to kidnap Christians. And I figured if we got enough of them together, then you know, like, the other Christians would think like it did happen, and I wasn't making the A-list. So it would have been really a good prank, like best prank in history, I think. But no, this guy is a camping motherfucker. You guys familiar with this guy? He's an asshole. He managed to collect like $80 to $100 million off of lying to people twice. And he's going for round three now. Like it's like any movie, any sequel. First one's good, second one sucks. Third one, they just go all action, no storyline. It's going to be like Rapture 3D. You're going to have like crucifix-shaped explosions. There'll be like dino angels fighting a giant Voltron-esque Obama. I'm thinking it'll be pretty good.
but speaking of current events, no homo. I've heard this phrase, no homo, and it troubles me. And it's not because I'm like activist, like you can't say gay. It's in a derogatory sense, like hey, do it or don't. I don't care. I like gay people, and then say what you want. I don't care. But what troubles me about no homo is it's not really applicable to bigger situations. Like I would like to see it. You know, we'd be like, hey, I like pizza and RoboCop. No retard. Or like, you know, my girl just broke up with me. I'm feeling upset. I really need somebody to talk to. No emo. But it's not. I think it's kind of a fucked up perspective that we have about homosexuality. And I'd like to articulate that with a story. And I need to preface that with no homo. I am heterosexual. But so here's what happened. I'm hanging out with some friends of mine, and I was thinking, like, hey, I'm going to make snacks for my buddies. Ran off to the kitchen, and here's what I have to provide for them. 2 packets of sticky buns. It's not going where you think it is. Fortunately, I had 2 packs because I burnt the shit out of the first pack, and they were smoldering, like glowing, because I'm just bad at that. Lucky for me, I had a sink full of disgusting, dirty dishwater sitting right there for just such an occasion. I dumped it in there, flame extinguished. Made the second pack that came out delicious. I went and informed everybody. My one friend darted into the kitchen. I followed him in there. He's eating a sticky bun. I go to grab a sticky bun. None are missing from the pan. Look in the sink. 1 is missing from the sink. Oh. He had to walk past the delicious, tasty sticky buns with the goo on top in order to grab disgusting sink water type food. And so I'm telling this story to a friend of mine. This is where it gets back to misunderstood perceptions of homosexuality. And he goes, hey, well, that makes sense because he came out, he's gay, as if that's an explanation, which it is fucking not. Okay, and here's why it's not. This guy's weird, first of all. The fact that he's gay is the most normal thing about him. He collects Star Wars figurines. He ate sink food. Homosexuality does not line up in any way with the other 2 ideas. One gets me morally outraged. The other one is just anal sex that I'm not really into. Like it's like to trying to connect the 2 would be like me saying like I like the Golden Girls, and that's why I have a face tattoo of toddlers fucking. There's no connection at all. None. But I did have a no segue for this next one at all. So you guys come up with one, let me know later. But an asshole. An asshole does that one that I had a conflict with last night.
Say his name.
Ahmed, you're a good guy.
There it is.
Asshole. Anyway, so just made my first comedy enemy in DC on stage here. Still love you. I had an experience. I had abdominal surgery a few years back, and I don't know if you guys know this, but when you do have abdominal surgery, if you have, the whole industrial park down here, and for those of you who are listening, I am directing to my abdominal region, that whole industrial park shuts down. There's no lemonade, there is no chocolate being produced for like 3, 4, 7 days. It just shuts down, and no one tells you this beforehand. You just have a nurse who comes in and goes, as you're laying there on morphine, goes, have you had a bowel movement today? Which is weird, because I'm sitting there thinking like, I'm going to die. And she's like, have you had a bowel movement today? And it's a weird way to start a relationship to begin with. Like, we don't talk. It's weird. Like, I rejected her Facebook friendship. It just really soured that kind of start of what could have been a good relationship. But she comes in and asks that, and I was like, no, weird question, feeling good, kinda, and that's it. Next day, she comes in, I'm realizing I can't pee, so that's troubling me. Third day, I'm up and walking around and trying to coach myself into peeing, which if you've ever done, And I'm hoping for all of you, it's never really happened, but I'm sitting there psyching myself up for a pee. Shit's gone wrong in your life if you're psyching yourself up to pee, first of all. But I am, and I couldn't. So she comes in again. Have you had a bowel movement? We'll just call her Poopy Nurse Lady. Poopy Nurse Lady comes in, and she goes, have you peed? And I was like, bitch, I haven't. Have you pooped? I haven't peed yet. Fourth day, I'm standing there, and I'm trying to pee, and my dick farts. Which, I'm guessing a lot of you have different and varied experiences with penises. I have like 30 plus years with my own, and none with any others, and that is abnormal penis behavior. It doesn't happen. It was kind of an existential crisis for me. She comes in that day, right after it happens. And I should preface by saying that my grandmother was a nurse, and she taught me to use the correct terminology for everything. So I tell her that my penis expelled flatus, and she had no idea what I was talking about. So I was like, my dick farted. And she goes, oh yeah, that'll happen. Which just got me so angry. Like, I'm seeing white. I'm like, you fucking knew this was going to happen, and you didn't warn me? Like, I'm expecting, like, there should have been a giant pamphlet describing it, like, bigger than a Chili's menu. Like maybe I should have had some counseling sessions and nothing. Nothing at all. So, if you have abdominal surgery and you're a guy, your dick's going to fart. FYI. Yeah. That happens. I was at the zoo this past week. No relation to my dick. It was the brew at the zoo in Baltimore. I don't like going to the zoo for a couple reasons. Because it's usually far away and it costs money. Two, it smells like ass there all the time. And I could see that shit on TV. But what was interesting about this trip was that I'm there with a bunch of good people and then one asshole who decides who's going to correct us on everything that's happening at the zoo that, like, oh, you didn't know this. So we're like, hey, let's go check out the bands. She's like, well, actually, it's the giant panda. I was like, oh, that is interesting, because I don't think anyone fucking cares. So we go to check out the giant pandas, and on our way there, there's a crowd gathered around this tree. The tree has a black snake in it that is eating robin's eggs. And everyone's just freaking out. Like, you're at the zoo, first of all, so I'm thinking, like, nature is exactly what you're here. This is nature happening. Right? This is normal. They're freaking out. In the middle of all of this, robins start dive bombing this black snake, and the black snake grabs one out of the air and starts eating it. Coolest shit I've ever seen. And people are like calling 911. There's an ugly animal eating a cute one. Like, get somebody out here. Call rescue. And I'm just like this. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why, like, you have this concept of nature, like, oh, this is the wrong nature. Like, no, this is nature. So that's partly why I like to watch it on TV. I was watching it on TV. I was watching the Nature Channel, and I saw monkeys eating bananas upside down. Blew my fucking mind. I've only eaten bananas a certain way, and I'm assuming most people in the audience have only eaten it. You got the tab on the top, you pull it, you eat it, it's good. I'm thinking, monkeys probably know more about bananas than I do, because stereotypically that's what they eat. I tried it, it was easier. A lot easier. That's a fun fact. What you don't want to do with that fact is tell your Nigerian coworker all about that while he's eating a banana that way, and then compare him to a monkey. Shit's gonna get awkward real quick. He's looking at me like, oh, you're calling me a monkey. You're, like, seriously calling me a monkey. And I'm just like, hey, man, hey, no racist. My name's Eric Seeger. You guys are beautiful. Thank you very much.
Sit down. Sit down.
No, this is fine. How are you doing?
Delightfully.
Why did you decide to dress like Walt Whitman?
I had one goal tonight, and that was to outdress you.
You did.
On a radio show.
Easily outdressed me. It's also good that you're staring at me and not any of the people looking at you. There you go. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, that really matters on a radio show, too.
How, you just moved from Chicago.
I did.
How is DC compared to Chicago?
Interesting.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you care about music at all?
A little.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Any words of advice for everyone?
Talk hard.
Talk hard, everybody. To pump up the volume reference. Let's plug some of your stuff.
I don't have anything about...
Fantastic. Right. Where can people find you online?
If you're on Twitter, you can find me at E-Zieger, at E-Zieger. It's Z-I-E-G-E-R. That is Z as in zebra, I-E, G as in George, E-R. Friend is looking at me angrily. Or Facebook, you know, Eric Zieger.
You should tag every one of your jokes with no homo.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, God forbid you're funny. All right, everybody, please put your hands together for Zieger. I couldn't even say your name. I'm sorry about that, buddy. The Beanstalk Live is set up. We're going to record them, and they're going to play music. So stick around. Sorry there's no transition music, which makes this night like 10 times more awkward. Hey. Like right now.
I'm loving it.
Okay.
My name is Ryan Walker. I'm in the band The Beanstalk Library. And,
Ryan Walker. Oh, I did it.
We had a little band meeting downstairs, and we are not going to be playing for you guys tonight. The show is kind of behind schedule, and there's some things happening at this festival that we didn't really agree to, and we kind of made a decision that the right thing to do was to not play. If you are here to see us play tonight, and you were looking forward to it, my deepest apologies. We will be playing again very, very soon around town. We'd love to come see you. But there are a lot of great people here tonight, and I don't mean any disrespect to any of them. But I hope you had a fun time listening to these guys. They did a really good job. And see you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Yay! Now it ends awkward like more.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.